Yesterday, Bo Nix named a starter for the Denver Broncos by head coach Sean Payton.
I mean, Bo Nix, first of all, is a little older, so this makes a lot of sense, but he's been a revelation in preseason. He looks like he's been playing football for 30 years.
Well, I know he's 24 years old, so it's not that far off.
But the other thing, too, is he doesn't play like an old man. That dude can run. I mean, that's all he did at Auburn was run. So he's got the whole package. He seems to be able to do his progressions for a young player. And he's obviously got plenty of arm strength. I always look at this draft like, how did that dude fall to 12? It was the age. Because there's never really been an older drafter quarterback who hit. It's not a thing that usually happens in the NFL. Usually, if you're going to hit, it's by 21, 22.
Yeah, Chris Wienkes and the Brandon Whedons, those guys, the older guys.
Chris Wienkes was 28, and Whedon, I think, was 24, 25. Because those guys left for minor league baseball for a long time. Nick's a little different, but I think like he is very, very clearly exactly the quarterback Sean Payton wanted. Not only am I excited for this, it's like it puts a whole different perspective on what Sean Payton's doing in Denver. Now it's like, I thought this was a disaster. I was like, that dude can't win six games and be happy.
Yeah.
But now the sky's the limit. I feel like everything has fallen into place based on just two Bo Nix preseason games.
Yeah, I mean, he's like doing what he did at Oregon. He's, you know, fitting the ball into tight windows. He looks good when he can scramble, keeping plays. You know, it's not Caleb Williams back there, but he's definitely able to use his legs. Let's hear from Sean Payton on how Nix won the job, but says there's still work to do.
He's been outstanding, obviously. There's a ton of room for growth. There's a lot of things that he needs to work on. You know, we're still in the beginning of this process, the development not only of him but the other two guys, as they can help our team, and so is the overall body of work.
Okay, here's Payton explaining Bo Nix's reaction to the news.
He smiled, he was good, and we're getting ready to practice, and that was it. You know, we didn't have cake and candles or anything like that.
So here's the one thing about this. You just mentioned, Perloff, you were really down on the Denver Broncos, and now you feel, like, excited to watch.
Excited, yeah. But I don't think they're going to win anything. But I do think, like, okay, they got a quarterback. They can build something. I didn't know coming into the preseason that Nix was going to look this good. So now Sean Payton can afford a losing season. I mean, he's the highest paid coach in all of pro sports, all four leagues.
Yeah.
So you would think, oh, that's playoffs or bust, but it's not, right?
Well, I think you're explaining what goes into making this decision. And, you know, here's the thing about Bo Nix. He does look good in the preseason. But when you say, like, and there was another quote from Sean Payton that, you know, he earned this. Yeah, he earned this and won this.
Like, definitely. Well,
the deck is also stacked a bit in his favor for just the reason that you said. There really was not anything to be excited about in Denver, and Jarrett Stidham is not going to sell tickets, and he's not going to get people interested in the Denver Broncos. And you know who will? Bo Nix, who was an eyelash from the Heisman, and who somebody people actually are like, wow, at least I'll go in and watch Nix. He's got a household name, played at Oregon, which is a marquee program. And so, you know, he's looked good, but again, it's preseason. Sometimes we don't even really understand what we're watching. I'm excited to watch him, but let's not pretend like the deck wasn't a little bit stacked towards Nix. I think this was always going to be the outcome because, first of all, I think Payton sees him as like the Drew Brees 2.0. We said that on draft night, though, right? We said that on draft night. This was going to be the kind of guy who could run the same type of offense that he ran with Drew Brees. So great. So to your point, why start Stidham? Even if Stidham was the better quarterback, there's no juice, there's no buzz, and you get started with the Bo Nix era, and people are actually interested in your team now.
That logic perfectly makes sense. Yeah. You could be right. I mean, why? Jared Stidham's been in the league 5 years and started five games. Like, he's not a starter-level quarterback based on everything. Love Jared Stidham, but he's definitely not a starter.
Such a pro guy. Backup QB. I can see you love his Stidham.
Yeah, I've always told you, I like Stidham. I knew when he was in high school, he's an awesome dude. Great backstory. Incredible life. But, I mean, Bo Nix outplayed him in preseason. There's no doubt. He was 15 for 21 in his first game and ran like crazy. And then he was 8 for 9. Near basically
season
perfect.
Stats, though, we do what we want with those.
But
you know,
he outperformed him in preseason in the games. Sure. I don't know what he did in practice, but like with what we saw, there was clearly like there's no way you could watch those games and say Jared Stidham was a better quarterback than Bo Nix. Bo Nix was clearly QB1.
Yeah, I don't think this was ever going to end a different way.
Well, I don't know because Payton was talking a lot of Jared Stidham for a long time. Stidham knows the offense really well. He's been there now for a year under Sean Payton. So he was talking a lot as Stidham. I think there's a chance if he thought Bo Nix was shaky, he did not want Bo Nix to look bad.
Of course not.
Yeah, so I don't think it could have been like the Eli Manning where week eight they put in Bo Nix. But I mean, the second preseason game was like, oh, there was definitely no doubt. They didn't even, as Sean Payton said in that soundbite, they didn't even need to make any ceremony. It was clearly going to be Bo Nix. I think your logic is right, but I still also think he outplayed him in preseason. He looked up really good. I don't think this lasts in the season. He can't be perfect. He has 117 rating in two games.
Well,
that's not going to last.
Yeah, no. Again, this is preseason. Defenses are vanilla.
Yeah, of course.
We don't really know what we're looking at a lot of these times. Okay, so Bo Nix gets the job. So let's zoom out for a sec. So that's Caleb Williams, QB1. Jaden Daniels, QB1. Bo Nix, QB1. J.J. McCarthy would have gotten that job, guys. He was beating out Sam Darnold. He got hurt, and now he's not going to play for the season.
Ooh.
But it was trending very up for J.J. McCarthy, was it not?
Probably.
And Sam Darnold's kind of like Jarrett Stidham, just with more starts, but not that much more success. So I think J.J., now you have Drake May, who the door's still open, by the way. They have not closed the door in New England that he could be the starter. And then Penix, who's not going to start, but that's because the Falcons pulled an all-time move that we talked about for 2 months after the draft because of how unique it was. These guys are all starting. This is like, this class is happening. And I bet when push comes to shove, I bet Drake May starts week one, too. This is just something I've noticed. I think, you know, the...
Penix will not start, though, you're saying.
Penix is going to be the one guy, but again, the circumstances by which he was drafted were unusual. If Penix had been drafted by the Raiders or by the Seattle Seahawks or someone else, I bet he's starting, too.
Yeah, no, he's an older guy as well. Yeah,
I know everyone wants to say, sit for a year and do all that. Those days are over, you know?
Yeah. Except for Penix. I totally agree with that.
But again, Penix, if he had been drafted by any other team, he's starting.
So, and I do think this is an all-time class, but you know, there's only one class that ever has had three Hall of Famers. It was the 83 class.
Yeah, well, 2004, we'll probably have it.
We'll probably have it, but there's a possible four Hall of Famer class out there. Not this class.
Oh, 2018?
2020 has...
I was going to say, yeah, not 18.
18 has two, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. 2020, listen to this class. Joe Burrow, Tua, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts. That's a possible four banger on the Hall of Fame
front. Wow.
Because I think Joe Burrow seems like a guy. I feel like Justin Herbert, man, I'm giving Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts the Hall of Fame. That's a stretch, but it's possible. This class, though, statistically, these guys are all like in the right situation to put up big numbers. I mean, Bo Nix, if he has 10 years with Sean Payton, Sean Payton has a long contract. I don't know if he's going to stay interested. I mean, we're looking at like a Drew Brees kind of big numbers. Payton could put up some passing stats.
No kidding.
That little short passing game. So he's going to be, I think he's going to have decent numbers this year. I'm not saying draft him in fantasy, but you might want to because he'll run a little bit too. He's an interesting first-year guy. Like, he's got the style to hit immediately. And then I feel like Jaden Daniels is C.J. Stroud 2.0, and Caleb Williams is the next Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
And then Penix is my favorite player in the entire draft. And Drake May is going to take some time. But
I bet he ends up starting. He might
have bad numbers, though, right?
They're a bad team.
He starts, but it's not going to look like the other guys.
But I think this is also the pressure that comes with this, to start these guys right away. And I think if you are, you're telling me Robert Kraft of the Patriots, now that Bill Belichick is out of the building and all he's wanted is to have, and him and his son, to have more input on what's going on with the football team, you don't think they're going to go to Gerard Mayo, someone in his first year who they could clearly throw their weight around with, not Belichick was going to tell you, get the hell out of my office. You don't think they're saying start Drake May so that we have a little interest, you know? It's the best business move. Might ruin the kid, but it's the best move for the current for right now.
Well, also, it's not like Drake May's ever played football. Like, Jacoby Brissett looked terrible in two series. Like, Jacoby Brissett throwing to nobody is not exactly like, it's not like they're putting Drake May in over a prime Tom Brady. Like, they don't have much else there. There's no reason to play Brissett. Who's the last guy who's actually sat? I think Trey Lance in 2021. Did Zach Wilson start at first?
Right? Yep.
So basically, it's been a long time since we've had
Mahomes.
Justin Herbert was supposed to sit behind Tyrod Taylor, but the medical staff almost killed him.
Yeah, punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung.
Yeah, the other
thing. You got one for us?
Daniel Jones didn't start till like week 3 or 4, I think. He was still Eli.
But you know what? That was, and I remember when I was in New York at that time doing WFAN, that was surprising that they went to him so fast. You know, I remember when they went to him and it was like, you thought Eli Manning was still going to have a little more time. And he was starting that game in Tampa Bay. It was actually probably his best game.
Also, too, obviously,
first game was his best game.
Quarterbacks come in with way more passes under their belt than they did in the old days. Like, first of all, going back to high school, like, yeah, I think in 1988 when John Kitna would start over Carson Palmer, it was way different. Now these guys have been throwing 700 passes a year since their sophomore year of high school, so they're all ready to go. It's not surprising to me at all. I think they're all going to have like moments this year. Drake May. Would that be a situation where you're like, I don't want to see this guy get killed?
Well, no, I don't want to see anyone get hurt, but I think he can protect himself. I want to see him play. I want to see him play more than I want to see Jacoby Brissett play. Where's the fun in that? We're talking about things like storylines for the upcoming season or like things to watch. This quarterback rookie class, I mean, again, they should all be starting, which is crazy.
Last year's, last year's rookie class is still interesting, too. I'm dying to know what those guys do.
I'm not as interested in Bryce Young. And you got to do something for me to get back interested in you.
Have you been reading, the headlines, I'm so fascinated by Bryce Young. I'm probably more fascinated by him than any player in the league. Because everyone said, oh, man, Bryce Young looks really good. Remember, he was awesome in college, and his coaching staff was a mess last year. I don't know. I feel like that's the thing, what are these guys going to do? And you're not fascinated. If I gave you a choice, you could watch Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Richardson, and Will Levis, or this year's class. Who do you got?
This year's class, without a doubt.
Oh, you're not dying to know what Will Levis does? I'm dying
more
to know.
More condiments in the coffee?
Mayonnaise?
I got it. Yeah.
Mr. Mayonnaise? You're not dying to know what Anthony Richardson does? You're not dying to see if CJ Stroud could go to the Super Bowl? We say this. We're getting all excited, but the reality is and you're getting all excited, which I love, but the reality is it's going to be kind of hit and miss with these guys. All these guys are going to end up, like, most rookie quarterbacks are mediocre. That's the rule, not the exception.
Do we put this out on social media? Will this be the best rookie class since 1983? Or do you want to go 2004?
Best rookie class.
Eli Manning.
You mean like
Ben
total?
Like accumulation.
When it's all done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
or maybe you do 83, 2004, 2020.
So
2024.
Yeah, 18 is way up there already.
Yeah, but 18, that was the class that was promised that I think is actually under-delivered. You know, nobody thought that Lamar Jackson would have been taken number one overall if anyone knew what he was really capable of.
No way. What has he won?
MVPs?
Yeah, no. I don't think Lamar would be number one. I think Josh Allen would be. I think
what
Josh Allen's more durable.
What does Josh Allen want?
I think Josh Allen's just more durable. Lamar, I feel like we're looking at a 20-year span. I don't know. Like I feel like I would go Josh Allen. Just because Josh Allen gets hit and never just plays all the time.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think if everyone could have a mulligan on that one, okay, maybe I think it's probably Lamar's going over him. But that aside, EJ, maybe we can throw that up on X.
Do you remember when Lamar went to free agency? How many offers did he get?
Well, that was because you had multiple first-round picks that were attached to him also. Remember that? If you were going to match, you had to, really pony up the draft picks. And you had to pay him top of the market. That was a complicated deal.
Read any quarterback ranking out there right now. Show me one expert who has Lamar Jackson over Josh Allen.
How about the players poll that put Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes? That'd be tight. Maybe that's a good poll question as well. If you could redraft the 2018 draft, who goes number one, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen? No disrespect, Baker and Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold. 855-212-4227. All right, a lot of quarterback questions out there for you. And if you are a Denver Bronco fan, how excited are you for Bo Nix gets named the starter yesterday, QB1. Okay, coming up next, Perloff and I dip our toe into college football. Week 0 is upon us, and we will give you the 12 teams we believe are making the college football playoff. All 12 comes your way next.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. All right, it's time. Week zero is upon us. Ireland, Florida State, and Georgia Tech, as long as there's no airplane faux pas like the Delaware State Hawaii issue, everybody will be headed overseas. We're going to get some real college football this weekend. Cannot wait. But that means we got to get our picks in, Maggie. There's no more time to delay. We've had all 6 months to think about this, and then last night I was scrambling like crazy. And I assumed you were too. But it's impossible.
It's 12, hard.
4, you could do. 12, oh my gosh, this is hard.
This is hard, but let's get it going. Perloff and I are going on the record right now. Who do we think are going to be the 12 teams that make the college football playoff? Then we'll give you our final four and our eventual champion. We have not seen each other's picks here.
Yeah.
We're going in blind. Would you like to go first?
No, I went so chalky, I am not going first.
All right, I'll go first.
I am so embarrassed by my chalkiness, but please go ahead.
All right, here we go. I'm going to run them down.
Okay.
These are the 12 teams I believe will make the college football playoff in 2024. I think the number one seed will be Ohio State. 2 will be Georgia. 3 will be Utah. And 4 will be Clemson. I have Clemson winning the ACC in an upset. I believe the 5th seed will be Notre Dame. The 6th seed will be Alabama. The 7th seed will be Oregon. 8 will be Texas. 9, Ole Miss. 10, Missouri. 11, Boise State. That will be your group of 5 winner as a Mountain West champ. 12, Penn State. Now, as we fast forward, I guess I'm just going straight to the Final Four here. How this is going to shake out in the Final Four will be number 2, Georgia, will beat number 6, Alabama. I will have number 1, Ohio State, defeating number 12, Penn State. I have Penn State advancing all the way to the Final Four. And I have Georgia winning the college football playoff over Ohio State. Georgia, your champion. And those are my 12, and then my 4, and my 2-1.
All right. This is embarrassing.
Having Texas and Ole Miss, though, meet in the 8-9 game, I'm really hoping that happens in real life.
I'm just saying we're way too close.
Oh, very similar? Okay, go ahead.
Well, okay.
Read them off.
Okay. I'll tell you where we're different. The funny thing is we get different at 4.
Why don't you just read them, 1 through 12?
Because I have to pull it up again because I started to look up a couple things here. Can I change it now? No, that's probably too late. Okay.
No.
Number 1,
Kaplan's
Ohio
State. Already working on
number
the
Number 1, Ohio State. Ohio State. Number 2, UGA. Number 3, Utah. So
okay.
We're 3 for 3.
Okay.
Then I went with Florida State. Clemson wasn't even on my radar here. I honestly wanted to pick the Miami Hurricanes, but I did not want to see Elijah Stewart be too happy all fall. So I could not pick the Hurricanes, but I think that's a fun battle, all those teams.
Yeah.
I had Oregon 5.
Okay.
I had Bama 6, just like you did, and I had Notre Dame 7. So I flipped Oregon and Notre Dame.
Okay.
I have Texas 8.
Wow.
I did keep Michigan in there just because I feel like they still have a ton of pros. Sherrone Moore just hand the ball off every time. Let's go. I have Ole Miss 10. I've decided, this is where I flip-flopped the most. I wanted to put one more SEC team in, and I looked at Mizzou just like you did.
Did you go
Definitely
with?
Looked at Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee.
Guess who? No, I didn't. I pulled out Tennessee at the last second, schedule-wise.
Hmm.
Guess who I went with? Your LSU Tigers.
I thought about it.
And then I also have Boise.
You have Boise, too?
Of course. I mean, everybody. It's either Memphis or Boise for the G5.
Or Liberty, I think a lot of people have.
But Liberty... I've read a few things that people are going to whack Liberty because they got destroyed in the bowl game last year against when they played a power team. And Memphis has got this crazy hard schedule. So, I mean, we're not just pandering to one of our audiences. I think the schedule-wise, I looked at a lot of schedules for this, too.
Yeah, I
know, too. And it's just, I think Boise State's just got an easier road. Memphis really could get destroyed in a couple out-of-conference games, which would hurt their chances. That's going to be a wild decision. So we're very similar. I think the big difference is, for me, I was really surprised to hear you say Clemson.
Wait, do you do your Final Four?
My Final Four.
Champions.
Ohio State, UGA. My Final Four. I was looking at my top four. My Final Four, according to Andrew Perloff's email to Elijah Stewart 5 minutes ago. Okay, I have Ohio State, UGA, Oregon, and Bama. Ohio State over UGA.
Okay. So I have Georgia over Ohio State, and you have Ohio State over Georgia. How hilarious. This is, you can tell we've been sitting next to each other now for the last 3 years. We think alike. But here's a question for you. So the matchups on these are amazing, right? Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I decided to put Clemson as my ACC winner was they start off the year against Georgia playing at noon in the Mercedes-Benz Dome.
Okay.
That's going to be a really tough, tough game, right? But Clemson has played Georgia close, and even if Clemson loses, they're a 13.5-point underdog. I wonder, in this new era of college football playoff, do you have quote-unquote good losses? Because that, yeah, you might have some undefeated teams, but you're going to have losses. So these good losses may end up, I don't know if that is going to come into play. Like, if Clemson loses by a touchdown to Georgia when they were a 13.5-point underdog, does that actually help Clemson?
But you put them in as the
I put them in as the champion, yeah, so it doesn't matter. But you know what I'm saying.
But so Clemson, I think it was a huge showdown with Florida State.
Yeah.
I'm sort of stuck on the whole never taking a transfer thing. Like, it doesn't feel like a modern era team. But did you look at the Canes? Because they have a crazy easy schedule. And
EJ and I have talked about the Canes quite a bit. Because
Cam Ward's the man.
When we did our who was ranked too high, who was ranked too low, preseason top 25, yeah. I can't get burned by the Canes again. So this is my scar tissue. Yeah. They've been.
You can't get burned by the Canes again.
Yeah.
What do you think I've been dealing with the last 20 years?
I don't know how you're still like as even keeled as you are, EJ, because I'd be like on edge at all times. I can't do it.
If you compare my team, Mike Norvell versus Mario Cristobal, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's a bottom line. Hey, how about...
Norvell's a much better coach.
What
game
about...
Game.
Did you have a problem where you're like, oh my God, this is too many SEC teams? I looked at that, too. I'm like, oh my... Because...
I had five SEC teams.
Yeah, see, I had one, two,
and three, Big
three,
Ten teams.
Four, five. I had five. Yeah, five's a lot. But
and three Big Ten teams, one ACC, one group of five, and Notre Dame. And one Big 12. That was the hard thing also. Just one Big 12, I feel like. I don't...
Well, I was wondering if a second Big 12 team could sneak in.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, so that's the Maggie and Perloff top 12, the college football playoff. That's it. That's our predictions. They're written in stone. No changing, Perloff. No backsies.
My guy, Urban Meyer, of course, who's biased, said Ohio State's the best team of this, like, since 2010. And I think they're Miami. They're 2000 Miami. I've never seen a bunch of pros on a team like this. This is... They're crazy. I mean, if Ryan Day can't win a title with this team, he's never winning a title. They are so talented. It's bizarre.
What did we get right? What did we get wrong? 855-212-4227. We both have Ohio State and Georgia playing for the national championship. I have Georgia winning. Perloff has Ohio State winning. And we'll put on social media all of our picks there so you can go and see. Dexter Henry has headlines for us this morning. What up, Dex?
What's going on? So in the last hour, we talked about former Reds first baseman Joey Votto and the Reds' current shortstop, Ellie De La Cruz. He joined an elite club on Wednesday night. That is not the correct sound at all whatsoever. We'll get back to that in a second. But what I will tell the people is De La Cruz is now in the 20-60 club. So 20 home runs, 60 stolen bases. Wow. Youngest player at 22 years old to have a 60 stolen base season since Jose Reyes back in 2005. We saw Ronald Acuna join that club last season. So I want to ask you guys this. Are we seeing the return of elite level base running back in baseball?
Yeah, I mean, baseball has like made a concerted effort to have more base stealing. You can only do, you know, three pickoffs. The bases are bigger, all that stuff. They want this.
I love it. I'm glad it's back.
It's exciting, man.
Andrew, are you here for the base stealing or no? Don't care.
Sorry.
You yawn?
How can you honestly? You're
you
giving
yawned
me
when Ricky Henderson was playing? You did
we
not
We just had a
yawn.
Debate about Tennessee, LSU, and Alabama, and you want to give me stolen bases? Sorry.
On,
that is not moving the needle. Do you really
exciting.
Think that's moving the needle?
It's
oh,
exciting.
My. Come on. Don't. Come on, Dexter. Come on, Maggie. Come on.
Come on, Skip.
This is from the person who is excited about Bronny James.
It's week
playing in the summer league.
Oh yeah, it was fat. That was fast. That's a one off. Yeah. But I mean, come on. Are you telling me?
Come on, Pearl. Situational baseball. Get your head out of your butt.
I love Ellie De La Cruz. He is a phenom. Yeah. He's fantastic. But anybody else gets stolen bases. It's football season. Why are you giving me these stats? Come on, guys. It's week zero. You don't want to see how Georgia Tech is going to try and get the upset in Ireland?
No, I do not.
Hey, by the way.
that was a tough sell. That was a tough sell, I admit.
While Dexter's doing this, can we try to... Nico, you're doing a lot back there. EJ, you're doing a lot too. But is there any way... Can we check on Delaware State? Did they ever leave JFK Airport and get to Honolulu? Got to have an update on that. Dex, you can continue.
Yes, we'll continue. So,
but wait. In all seriousness, do you guys think that this stolen base, like the new rules, I know it's fun and it's working, but is it really moving the needle? Is baseball catching up to basketball and football?
No.
Oh, basketball. I thought you were saying, is the game more exciting? Like, I love that the games have more action and that they're shorter. So, yeah.
I feel the same.
Okay.
But is it, to answer your question, is it moving the needle to catch up to basketball and football? No, I don't think it has made any significant ground. I don't think so.
I want a little data.
Yeah, I don't know. I was actually asking. I wasn't like weighing in one way or the other.
I understand the point of what you were questioning now.
I feel like baseball has become almost like an event sport that you do when you go to the ballpark, because like attendance in games is up. It's been up for years now. But I just don't know if people are just following the day-to-day the way they used to. And I don't know if they ever will. Like, I think with the NBA and the NFL especially, I think people still know the best players, still know what teams are good, still know the records, still know the playoff races. I think the NBA is the same to a much lesser degree. With baseball, I think people will always want to go to the ballpark. They always want to have a hot dog and sit out and watch these guys play baseball. But does everyone know all the players or know what teams are what? I think that's the only part that it's going to be hard for them to catch up. I just think the interest in the game in that standpoint has been lost by the casual.
Well, maybe a Yankees-Dodgers World Series or something. Last year, we had the Diamondbacks and Rangers. Not a lot of history there. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the randomness of the playoffs can't be helping. But, we'll see. Now, sorry, I didn't mean to Ellie De La Cruz, who's the best.
No, I like Ellie De La Cruz. He's very excited.
Isn't he too tall to steal this many bases? I've always wondered that.
Clearly not.
I'm getting off track.
All right, guys. Earlier this week, in an act of randomness, Ole Miss football head coach Lane Kiffin, he went on a tangent after seeing a bottle of Coca-Cola on his own podium. He asked reporters, does anybody drink Coke? And he also informed everybody that 130% of your sugar for the entire day is in a one bottle of Coke. So, on Tuesday, LSU head coach Brian Kelly, he took a different approach.
Just a shout out to our sponsor, Coke. Smart water, great Coke product, minerals, vitamins. Mm-hmm. It's just great for you. It's refreshing, healthy, and Coke provides you all the products that you need, depending on what you like. And I love smart water.
For the record, people, there is no sugar in smart water. Guys, do we like Brian Kelly shading or trolling, whatever you want to call it? Lane Kiffin here. Do you like it?
Ultimate politician, right? Brian Kelly, wasn't his father a politician? He comes from this. He knows when he sees an easy layup, he knows to go take it and, butter up the sponsors. Why not?
Oh, man, I would love to see any SEC feuds of Brian Kelly, Lane Kiffin. What if this took like a serious turn? That would be awesome.
Well, now that you got Saban out and no Jimbo Fisher in the SEC, we need like some personalities.
Good personalities.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Kiffin's got personality to spare. The question is, we need a rivalry. We need some trash talking, like real, like how about they go to war? And also, like, I think they play this year too again. That'd be fun.
Ew.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Kirby Smart and Kellen DeBoer are not giving any of that.
No.
I think we have to turn to Brian Kelly and Lane Kiffin for the personality.
Brian Kelly will say stuff for
sure. Yeah. No, I think that we'll have to turn to those guys for some of the fireworks here.
Yeah.
I mean.
And it all started over a can of Coke. And I still think Lane Kiffin is being annoying here. Like, yeah. Nobody thinks that Coke is, the healthiest thing for you, but if you want to drink it, go ahead and drink it. It's always the guy who lost all the weight or found a new special thing. They can't wait to tell you about it and how you should do it. You should intermittent fast.
Maggie, you think he was waiting for a long time to say this and he was like, now's my time. Gotta go.
No, I think Lane Kiffin is not thinking more than 30 seconds ahead.
I'm going to get a little political here.
Okay.
Were you one of those people who were so mad when Michael Bloomberg said there shouldn't be 64-ounce sodas in New York City stores? The former mayor of New York made this rule that for some reason, of all the things that happened in New York City, this was the greatest crime a politician had ever done, hey, we shouldn't be selling 64-ounce sodas in stores.
Yeah, so this was very controversial. This isn't something that would not happen in any other city, probably, or very few. I don't know if anyone else took up this cause. I think he was the only one, and he didn't want to sell 64-ounce sodas, right?
Right.
Okay. I think the reason why he did that, maybe, was because, do you want kids drinking that much soda, right? Was this like to try to protect the children, that kids drinking 64? But this is the thing.
Thanks for that deep analysis. Yes, obviously it's for the kids.
Right, but like, here's the thing. Kids, this is the time you could actually get away with that. I'm not saying you should drink all that sugar if you're a kid, but that's... I don't know. This is how I think. Like, I drank tons of Coca-Cola when I was a kid. It had did not have a bearing on what my weight was like as an adult. I think kids can kind of tolerate just a lot more sugar than adults can.
I think we pick and choose what our poisons are.
That's true.
We let, like, for many years, marijuana was illegal, but alcohol, which causes all kinds of problems, perfectly legal. Yeah. And sugar is, I think, way more of a drug than people realize. And, like, we don't have any safeguards. In fact, we're pumping into all the food as fast as we can.
Yeah.
So I just think that...
Oh, you could go to take this back to when people thought there was, like, a healthy cigarette, quote-unquote. I mean, yeah, we do this throughout history.
This is an unpopular take, and I'm sure the audience doesn't like this, but I kind of understand, like, people should be talking about the dangers of soda. It's not good for people. Like, it's not good for the country. It's not good for health. Like,
yeah,
it's,
but people got to be able to make their own decisions, Pearl.
So why not let them do cocaine then?
Well,
I mean...
I mean, if you want to go radical like that, I think there are some cities that made some of these really hard drugs, like, sort of decriminalized it, and yeah. I think they're seeing some negative effects. Because here's the thing. You drink a lot of Coke, you're not going to, like, lose your house and, like, alienate your family and lose your job. You know, cocaine and Mountain Dew are different.
Which is doing more damage? Nationwide.
Wait, which kind of Coke are you talking
actual
about?
Actual drugs are doing definitely. More damage. Drugs.
No. I mean, sugar is hurting this country. It's definitely, like, look at our, like, all the crap in our food.
No,
I'm,
I know,
I'm one of those guys.
Yeah,
I'm like,
you have a family, you could have a life, you get into drugs, you could lose everything.
I don't know. I saw Theo Von interview Donald Trump the other day and explain what Coke does to his brain.
I did see that.
And that was super fun.
Speaking of which, I think there was product placement in that interview.
Oh, what product?
I don't know what it was, but did you guys notice that if you guys watch this, Donald Trump and the comedian Theo Von, and they were doing an interview, and there's, like, a strategically placed whatever that was right next to him. Like, there's a product placement. I get it for LSU and for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
That's product placement. I couldn't believe there was product
like
placement
a press conference.
For this.
Theo said that you're going to be your own street light if you do cocaine. That's the funniest line. He's interviewing the former president and explaining, I don't know how he got it. But I am discreet. I think Lane Kiffin, of all the things Lane Kiffin has done in his wild career, lecturing people on soda does not bother me as much. And I realize I sound like kind of a jerk.
I'm not looking to Lane Kiffin to get my health advice.
Dude, he's lost a lot of weight.
I know, and he can't wait to tell us all about it. Great for you.
Jackson Dart looks great. I think this is all working out for Ole Miss.
You know who's not happy about this? Coca-Cola, with the comments that he
made.
He couldn't be happy when he made those comments.
Yeah, but they could just pull their, you know, whatever. Is it an SEC-wide thing with Coca-Cola?
I think
Alabama
are.
Had Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
too.
I think they are SEC-wide sponsor. So
Lane, making trouble.
I like they could pivot to vitamin water. Then you're good. Does Coke own that? That's the one, right?
Smart water.
Yeah. So you could do that. We'll see.
Do you guys feel like you can taste the difference between different bottled waters?
Yes.
Nico, you said no?
Absolutely.
It is all the same.
You think so? You think a Aquafina tastes the same as a Dasani?
I don't notice a difference at all.
No way.
Really?
I feel like they taste wildly different.
I had a bottle of Evian.
I was at the U.S.
Open the other night, and I was like, man, you can really taste the difference between that and other waters.
What's your favorite bottled water?
Aquafina.
I know mine.
Aquafina's mine.
Oh, really? That's my least favorite.
Really?
It's so funny, yeah. Mine is Poland Spring. Thank you, EJ.
You know what? I'm actually going to take it back. I will say I probably go to Poland Spring more than Aquafina. I would have to say that. I probably do.
What's your favorite bottled water?
I'm so sorry. I care just 1% about the planet. I don't drink bottled water. Unlike you guys, heathens.
What water do you drink? Out of the tap?
No, it's Evian, but I was going to say, if we're going to talk about something that's destroying the world, do you realize how bad bottled water is?
Oh, my gosh.
So
bro,
bad.
Get off the soapbox today.
Get out of here.
You are insane.
Do you know what happens to those bottles? You know how much oil it's cost? Like, these little bottles.
Are you just here to make us all feel bad?
Yeah, me and Lane. If Lane Kiffin, of all people, opens a door to be on the moral high road, then I'm going to follow Lane.
Are you trying to be like the next Surgeon
all this
General
10.
Or something? What do you see ever cook?
Well, I mean, come on. Bottles. It's my daughter. It's Emma. She can walk in one day and she'll say, oh, Dad, are you drinking Dasani here? Do you know what's going to happen to that bottle? And then she puts a flow chart. The rest of the world is basically going to destroy the planet. No, I'm an Evian guy, actually. Okay. You guys don't like Evian? Evian, it costs more for a reason. It's awesome.
It's pretentious.
Yeah,
no, it tastes
snooty water.
It's, but
I'm not a fan of it.
It tastes better. It tastes like something. Yeah, I with Maggie, Aquafina tastes like nothing. No flavor.
I don't like Dasani either. Say, Paul, Poland Spring.
I think I initially reacted to Aquafina because there are a bunch of places I worked where that was the only bottled water that was around. But yeah, my go-to if I'm going to go to a store and purchase is definitely Poland Spring.
Now, I'm going to turn to you for some fitness advice, too. What about that water with electrolytes? Does that work or is that just me being marketed to?
I haven't seen much benefits of it.
I don't drink it.
I just drink
I just assume
water.
It's a scam.
Yeah, it's making a lot of money for a lot of people now.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You really do. You're not kidding right now.
No, yeah. I don't. I assume that's a scam. I assume that in like 10 years, they're going to be like, electrolytes, like those were fake. We were just selling you Gatorade because it tastes great.
Well, there's a bottle at Trader Joe's that goes alkaline and electrolytes. I'm like, woo.
It's like drinking a battery.
I'm like, wait, do I want to drink alkaline or do I not want to drink alkaline?
I think we should do poll question. Can you taste the difference between bottled waters? Nico, I think you're going to lose this one.
Everybody can.
I don't know. I've just never noticed the difference. Like, if I'm thirsty, water's water.
Mm-hmm. 7:41 Eastern. We have till 10 o'clock. Can we get three waters in front of Maggie and test it out?
Wait, we don't have water in this building. There's none in the vending machines. It's only filtered water through the filter. But yeah, I mean, yes, we could go to a convenience store and get it.
The test would be we would put five cups in front of Maggie and repeat. And could she find the repeat? So basically like...
Could I tell find the match?
Yes.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, sure.
This building does have no bottled water. You're right about that.
No, they don't do
but
that.
But you would like that. That's good for the environment. Country, right? In the environment.
Yeah, that's true.
They have plenty of Diet Dr. Pepper for Perloff. By the way, don't let them make you think that Perloff never drinks any kind of soda. Because you put down Diet Dr. Pepper like your ship's going down.
Wow.
Now I'm obsessed with pulling you on this water.
855.
Good luck with the Dasani Aquafina combo.
That's going to be tough. 855-212-4227. Challenge accepted is what I was going to say. Coming up, could we see a resurgence of a once proud college football program? Got some news on them yesterday. We'll tell you next. Welcome back. New challenge accepted this morning. Can we tell the difference between bottled waters? And you can thank SEC coaches for this, by the way, because Lane Kiffin and Brian Kelly have been going back and forth about whether or not you should drink Coke or water. Got us a discussion about bottled water. And can you tell the difference between these bottled waters? So we'll do that a little bit later in the show. Billy Jacquelone, nice enough to go get us some bottled water. Nico, you have an update on a story we brought you yesterday. Delaware State, the football team, is flying to Hawaii to take on Rainbow Warriors. Their flight they missed their flight because of a bus snafu. They've been stranded at the airport for a day. What's the update?
Yeah, so according to the Delaware News Journal, after spending Tuesday night in a New York City hotel, the team flew to Hawaii on Wednesday morning, though three separate flights were required.
Oh, boo. Oh, man. Okay, so they are going to play Hawaii on Saturday night, where the kickoff is midnight Eastern, 6 o'clock local time.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck getting your body clock ready
for that. I'm betting the Hornets. I'm telling you, I think this...
To cover?
Yes. Is it 39? Yeah.
39 and a half, I think.
Yeah, I think that this is going to bond the team. I mean, this is a perfect situation. I'm not saying that they upset Hawaii. I'm saying that all of a sudden it's going to be 42-7 or something, and... you know, or Hawaii feels bad for them. I am feeling real good about this bet.
But Delaware, how could it State bomb the team when they had to take three different flights? They just got all separated. It's like, no. I'm going through Chicago, and you're connecting through Denver, and you're connecting through Nashville.
I don't mean like bomb, like they're watching the same movie sitting next to each other. Just like going through this experience. Like, it's like when Baker Mayfield had to learn the playbook on the plane and go play for the Rams. I just think the unusual circumstances will inspire them and get them over the jet lag in record time. I am all about Delaware State, keeping it super close. I actually, I got 42-7 Hawaii, which is a cover.
There you go. I would have my bathing suit and be at the beach so fast. I'd be like, what football game? Took forever to get here. I'm going to need to relax. But that's why I don't play football. Speaking of college football.
You could probably make Delaware State, though, but yeah.
Oh, gosh. A decision was made yesterday, Perloff. Nebraska going with the true freshman in Dylan Raiola. Now, this is notable for a couple reasons here. First of all, Raiola was first committed to Georgia, okay? So he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. This is the highest-ranked high school recruit that Nebraska has gotten since ESPN began tracking these ratings in 2006. And it's been a long time since Nebraska has been anywhere close to being relevant, Pearl. Dylan Raiola, starting as a true freshman, obviously the connection with the school through his father, who was an All-American offensive lineman. His uncle is the offensive line coach. But do you think this helps bring Nebraska back to relevance?
I don't know. I feel like Nebraska can always screw things up. Ever since they left for the Big Ten, I have so much problem trusting this I'll call it an organization, for lack of a better term. By the way, I think Raiola quietly came into USC before Georgia too. This is there was like everyone thought, he's at USC, so like it's kind of his third team. But regardless,
he's from Georgia.
He's from Georgia technically, but. I just can't see Nebraska putting together. And I love Matt Rhule, too. I think he's a cool dude. He's, rooted for him because of Temple and Philadelphia connection. Yeah. He feels like a really good guy. I just don't see it happening. I'm sorry. And I don't feel like any quarterback ends his career where he starts either. It's just a long way from being a true freshman in Nebraska to actually winning in Nebraska. Do you have faith in it?
I actually am. I'm excited about this. Give Matt Rhule year two. Listen, Matt Rhule in the NFL was an outright disaster. And I don't know if anyone's going to succeed with the Carolina Panthers, but if he had gotten hired by the New York Giants or any of the other teams that were after him, I don't know if it would have worked. But Matt Rhule in college is a proven commodity. And, you know, the first year where they go 5-7 last year, okay, you're building something, right? And you guys know as well as I do, a quarterback changes everything. Everything. And having Raiola there, listen, he's starting as a true freshman. I don't think all of a sudden he's going to leave next year to go play for Lincoln Riley. I think he's at least committed for 2 years. So you're getting 2 years, I think, of Raiola. And I do think this makes it a place where maybe quarterbacks want to go. If he has some success at Nebraska, everything starts to change a bit about the program. You start getting a little cooler. It's a little bit better. You know, it's a little, get a little buzz around you. And Raiola is doing a little bit like a Patrick Mahomes impersonation with the haircut and the glasses and stuff. But if he becomes his own guy and he delivers it all on the five-star prospect, I love this. Nebraska's always been a great place. The football program has just fallen so far.
Yeah, I know. But they've been underachieving in the sense of like they go under their win total all the time.
I think they're ready for it, though. I think they're ready for a comeback.
Based on what? Just because they got Raiola, but it's
Matt Rhule year
two. Raiola was a fluke. I mean, let's face it. Because his dad went there.
Yeah, right.
Normally they're not pulling guys like this.
But it just takes one. You know, one guy goes there, he has success, then maybe the next quarterback wants to go there and the next guy. Like this is how Nebraska building some momentum.
Nebraska's gonna become quarterback U?
When we were, you know, 20 years ago, Nebraska was awesome.
Yeah, but even then, they never threw the ball.
Great home field advantage. I mean,
has Nebraska, actually, maybe I'm missing some obvious ones. Has Nebraska had a pro quarterback? I mean, who played quarterback, that is?
Sure they have.
Did
Martinez not on a roster somewhere? 855-212-4227. Yeah, EJ?
He's on the Jets.
Yeah, he's on the Jets, right? I thought I saw him at training.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to make the team. I don't know if he'll be there in a week, but he's there now.
So, obviously, their two biggest quarterbacks were Eric Crouch and Scott Frost did not play quarterback, really. Like, this is not quarterback you. And all of a sudden, you think Raiola's going to change that? I just can't buy it. I'd like to. I'm rooting for them, but I can't buy it yet.
Will Dylan Raiola turn Nebraska around? 855-212-4227. Coming up, what's at stake for one quarterback battle? In short, everything.